Good morning, everybody. Happy Christmas to all of you. Nice to see your smiling faces. John had us up at 6 o'clock this morning, opening presents, you know, at our place. But he's the best son-in-law I've got. It's the only one. You know the difference between outlaws and in-laws? Outlaws are wanted. But my in-laws are wanted too, okay. I'm really very pleased to be John's father-in-law. I can remember him when he was a real snowy-headed little guy in our church where I was the associate pastor. And I know the senior pastor at the time had his eye on John, and he knew that John was going to be called into ministry and so on. We're really very supportive of John and Karen and their ministry, which they've been involved in over quite a few years. Well, today I want to talk about the heartbeat of Christmas. What's the heartbeat of Christmas? Came across this piece just a few weeks ago. It's called Mary's Dream. I had a dream, Joseph. I do not understand it, not really. But I think it was about a birthday celebration for our son. A bit like what we saw on the screen. I think that's what it was really all about. The people had been preparing for it for 6 weeks or more. They decorated the house. They bought new gifts. But it was peculiar though, Joseph, because the presents weren't for our son. They wrapped them in beautiful paper, tied them with lovely bows, stacked them under a tree. Yes, Joseph, a tree. A tree right in their house. Can you imagine that? And they decorated the tree also. The branches were full of glowing balls and sparkling ornaments. And there was a figure on top of the tree. It looked like an angel might look, actually. It was beautiful. Beautiful. Everyone was laughing and happy and excited about all the gifts. They gave the gifts to each other, Joseph, not to our son. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. Doesn't it seem odd for people to go to all that trouble to celebrate someone's birthday and they don't know him? I have the strangest feeling that if our son had gone to the celebration, that he would have been intruding. Everything was so beautiful, Joseph. Everything so full of cheer. But it made me kind of sad. It actually made me want to cry. And how sad for Jesus not to be wanted at his own birthday celebration. Oh, I'm glad it was only a dream, Joseph, because how terrible it would be if that was real. Well, as you and I know, in lots of houses today and lots of places today, that's exactly what it's like. The celebration's going on, but the people don't know Jesus. So what's the real heartbeat of Christmas? Well, the theologian J.I. Packer, this is the way he summed it up. He said, the Christmas message is that there is hope for humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, and hope of glory. And so that's what I want to talk about today. That's the heartbeat. It's the result of the love of God. But it's hope. Hope. What's hope? Sometimes we say, you know, oh, I hope I'm going to get such and such for Christmas. Or I hope everything will be all right. Or I hope the weather's going to be really good on holidays. But that's not real hope. Hope has a positive, concrete meaning to it. Because the hope that we have out of Christmas is just this. The first hope we have is hope for pardon. Because God loved us so much. Well, we know the verse. Most of you here know the verse so well. John 3:16, you know. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the hope of pardon for us as believers. Jesus came so that we might be pardoned of our sin. You know, we don't hear the word sin used very much these days. You don't like to talk about sin because we live in an age where it's not politically correct to say that. You know, I hate political correctness. I don't know about you, but anyway, that's just my opinion. But you know, we're not allowed to talk about these sorts of things. But the sins that we commit are the result of sin. And sometimes we Christians don't get this. You know, it's not only just that God's forgiven us for the things that we have done wrong, but Jesus came to forgive us for the sin that's in our heart. And sin is really rebellion against God. Sin is saying, I will do it my way, thank you very much. You know, like the song, the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. That's the heart of sin. And so Jesus came, he's born in Bethlehem. You know, we go all gooey about this idea of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, but believe you me, as John prayed this morning, that's not a very nice place where Jesus was born. It was almost as if God said, look, he's, you know, and Paul writes about this, Jesus left the glory of heaven and came down to this earth, to the kind of lowest place you could think of. Why did he do that? Why did he come in such a lowly way? Why? Because the thing that stands out in us is that we want to be greater. We want to be, you know, better known. We want glory for ourselves. But as Paul rightly wrote, Jesus didn't need to snatch glory for himself. He was already filled with the glory of heaven. But he came to the lowest place in humility, in humbleness. All of those words that describe that awful situation, that awful scene, which we kind of, you know, make to sound so really pretty. Jesus came, born in the lowliest way, in order that he might eventually die so that we would be pardoned. So the first hope of Christmas is a hope of pardon. The second hope of Christmas is the hope of peace. Now, what's peace? Have you got peace in your heart today? You know, you can really only have peace in your heart if you've been pardoned. And I want to challenge you today, if you've not been pardoned for your sin, if you've not been pardoned for the I in you, if you've not been pardoned for that part of you that says, I will do it my way, thank you very much, God, I don't need you, God. And you know, in Australia, this is the horrible thing about Australia. Not that I hate Australia at all. I love living here and I think we've got the best place in the world to live. But the horrible thing about Australia is that we're self-sufficient. We don't think we need God. We think we can do it all ourselves. We think we can do it all our way. And we do. And even us Christians sometimes, we leave God out. And we make choices and we make decisions sometimes that are our choices, not necessarily God's choices. What did the angels sing, you know? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what they said. You know, it's not much peace at Christmas sometimes. You know, it's pretty noisy. You go to the shopping centre, people are impolite, people are angry, they rush, they're anxious, and lots more, you know. I saw an accident in a car park the other day at a shopping centre. Lady was just backing out, and because another car was going by, just backed straight into another car, and there was a lot of noise, let me tell you, and shouting and screaming going on. There was no peace there at that moment. And there are families, already families, who are suffering the consequences of accidents on our road, one not far from here. So in some families there's not peace this morning. And sometimes there are people in our world who are contemplating taking their own lives. In Australia, you know. Look, I visit third world countries. And those people in third world countries don't have anything like the stuff that we have. There will be kids waking up in an orphanage in Myanmar that I visit regularly. They'll be waking up today and they won't be getting presents like our kids have got presents. They might be lucky if they get a soft toy that's been given to them from us in Australia. The guy who's running the orphanage, he doesn't have a car. In fact, he doesn't even have a bicycle. He either walks everywhere or catches public transport. And do you know what? I can walk into that orphanage and you almost feel, well, you do feel as though God's presence is there. There is such peace. And these are kids who've lost their parents. Some of them have seen their parents shot up in the Karen community in the north. And they've been left to fend for themselves in the jungle. But today I can tell you those kids are at peace. Peace like they've never known in their lives before. And yet here in Australia, where we've got everything, everything that opens and shuts, everything that turns on, everything that operates at the push of a button, and we have kids thinking about taking their own lives. They're not at peace. Because things do not bring peace. Just a couple of months ago, I was visiting a ministry in Jericho on the West Bank in Israel. And the guy who's the leader of this ministry, his name is Tass. The guy who's the leader of this ministry was actually one of Yasser Arafat's bodyguards before he became a Christian. He's a Palestinian Christian. He was, as a young man, trained to be an assassin. And he has assassinated even some leaders in Israel, some Jewish leaders. But he came to Jesus, and now he runs a ministry on the West Bank where Jews can't go, by the way, without a permit. Jewish people can't go, Israeli people can't go without a permit. And our Israeli guide, our Israeli Christian guide, actually had to get that permit to even take our bus into Jericho. That's how restricted it all is. But here's this man in the middle of Jericho, in the middle of probably one of the hottest places in the West Bank, where there are huge numbers of Palestinian refugees whom Jordan won't take, or Syria won't take, or Lebanon won't take. No, they're Palestinians, so, you know, even though they're the same blood, they're Arabs, they won't let them into their countries. They're refugees in their own land. Here's this man, and he's got this beautiful school. It's just magnificent. And he's now got Arab children, Palestinian children, coming to his school. He's got Arab mothers knocking on his door saying, "We want our children to go to your school." This is a Christian school in the middle of Palestinian territory. And he was telling his testimony to our group. And our Israeli guide was sitting there in the front seat, and this guy's telling his testimony. And at the end of his testimony, he says, "You know, there's no two-state solution." I don't know how much you know about the history of what's going on in Israel at this time, but, you know, he said, "There'll never be a two-state solution, a Palestinian state and an Israeli state in Israel. There is only one way for peace in this land, and that's Jesus." The Jewish guide who's sitting here, Messianic Jewish guide, the tears are running down his face. And at the end of this man's talk, he got up and they hugged one another. Yes, Jewish man, Palestinian man, hugging one another. The only solution, he says, in this land is Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says it's to us. Jesus is our peace. If you really want to be at peace with yourself, with your world, with no matter what is going on in your world, then Jesus is the answer to that, because he is our peace. Well, I could talk a lot more about that. The third hope. The first hope is a hope of pardon. The second hope is a hope of peace. The third hope is the hope of glory. You know, it's the Apostle Paul who says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, this is what he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, it's all about Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about presents. It's not about Christmas dinner. It's not, you know, all those things are lovely. And we celebrate that way. That's fine. But Christmas is all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, that turns us around. As soon as we have hope in our hearts, it changes people. I've seen it over and over again in my nearly 50 years now of ministry, that as soon as people receive Jesus, their countenance changes, their life changes. Has your life really changed? Has Jesus changed your life? Really, I mean, really. Because he's the hope of glory. You know, sometimes we say, oh, we don't really want to talk about pie in the sky when we die. But we're not talking about that only. We're talking about the fact that this hope in us here and now of a life to come, a life that God has planned for us. Do you know Jesus has, God has a plan and a purpose for us? And it's amazing. It's amazing. I haven't got time this morning to tell you my testimony about how many times I have seen God come through for us as a family. But you know, Jesus came. He was born in Bethlehem. He did live in Israel. He did die on the cross to give us hope for more than what this life is. There is more. The advertisers tell us all the time, don't they? There's more. And I'm here to tell you, there's more. There's more than what this life offers. Even though we have it so good here in Australia, even though we're one of the richest countries in the world and we still cry poor, even though we've got everything that opens and shuts and more than we need. Telling one of the guys this morning, when I was growing up as a kid, you know, my brother and I shared the same bedroom, and in the cupboard that we shared with our clothes, all fitted, his and mine, all fitted on one side, the top box on the other side was where I had my toys. The next box was where he had his toys. All our toys fitted in to those two boxes. I have a relative who lives down in Canberra, and his kids, he's a nephew of mine, his kids showed me their room. Their room full. You could hardly find a space to walk through the stuff that was in this room. No. We have so much stuff. But the Bible tells us there's more. There's the hope of glory. The Bible tells us in Revelation, you know, that there's a place where there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, and most importantly, no more death, because there will be eternal life. That's the hope of Christmas. And that's the hope that we have. So let me finish this morning with this story. This is a sad story, but it illustrates this whole thing. It's called, Were You Colder Than This? It was Christmas Eve in Korea. An expectant mother walked through the snow to the home of a missionary friend where she knew she could find help. A short way down the road from the mission house was a deep gully spanned by a bridge. As the young woman stumbled forward, birth pains came over her. She realized she could go no further, so she crawled under the bridge. There alone, between the trestles on that bridge, she gave birth to a baby boy. She had nothing with her except the heavy padded clothes she was wearing. One by one, she removed the pieces of her clothing and wrapped them around her tiny newborn son, around and around like a cocoon. Then, finding a discarded piece, she pulled of old lino on the ground, she pulled it over to herself and lay there exhausted beside her baby. The next morning, the missionary drove across the bridge in her jeep to take a Christmas basket to a Korean family. On the way back, as she neared the bridge, the jeep sputtered and died out of gas. Getting out of the jeep, she started to walk across the bridge, and as she did, she heard the faint cry beneath her. She crawled under the bridge to investigate, and there she found the tiny baby, warm but hungry, and the young mother frozen to death. The missionary took the baby home and cared for him. As the boy grew, he often asked his adopted mother to tell him the story of how she had found him. On Christmas Day, his 12th birthday, he asked the missionary to take him again to his mother's grave. Once there, he asked the missionary to wait a distance away while he went there to pray with his mother. The boy stood beside the grave, bowed his head, weeping. Then he began to take off his clothes, one by one. And to the astonishment of the missionary as she watched, the boy took off his warm clothing piece by piece. Remember, this is Korea, this is the middle of winter. And laid it, piece by piece, his clothes on his mother's grave. Surely, thought the missionary, he won't take off all his clothing. He'll freeze, she thought. But the boy stripped himself completely bare, putting all his clothing on the grave. He knelt naked and shivering in the snow. As the missionary went to him to help him dress again, she heard him cry out to the mother he never knew, "Were you colder than this for me, my mother?" You know, when Christ came, he stripped himself of every royal garment, and he entered into our world of hatred and cold indifference. Don't think it was a nice place Jesus came to when he came. Why did he do it? Because he saw centuries of broken lives needing a saviour. And he died of a broken heart. But what broke it? The sin of human hearts. The long history of men making slaves of other men. Centuries of cruelty, starvation, suffering, the worship of false gods in temples made with hands, war, bloodshed, crime, greed. Those things broke the heart of Christ. So what will you do with him today? This Christmas brings us, if you're in Christ, you know, the hope again, the hope that you have in your heart, that you've been pardoned, you know you've been pardoned. It brings into your heart again this Christmas that peace. Jesus is our peace. And it brings into our hearts and our minds again the hope of forever with our God. That's the heartbeat of Christmas. That's the heartbeat of the love of God. He did this for us. And so if today you're sitting here and you've never ever said, "Okay, God, I accept that Jesus came for me," then I would encourage you today to take that step and to say, "God, I want to be pardoned. I want to have that peace. I want to have that hope of glory today." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning that we can celebrate another birthday of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. And Father, I want to pray that if there's any person in this place today that does not have that peace in their heart, that Father, today your Holy Spirit will so work with them and not give them any peace until they find their peace in Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.